Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Good Job, where we interview inspiring people from the music industry. We follow their journey from their very worst job to present day and find out what makes them them. That terrifying roar was from Fabi and Hriegel from Swiss folk metal band Elvete.
At the end of the day, metalheads are just metalheads. You know, if you're on stage and looking at the audience, the differences are not that big. I found that a very, very beautiful thing, actually, because it shows the power of music. It shows how much music is able to unite people and create some kind of a family, no matter what culture or country or whatever it is, you know.
I came across Elvete when one of my patrons asked me to react to them on my channel, and I just loved the mix of folk and metal, of soaring, clean vocals and screams. In this episode, we talk about Celtic culture, about how history writes music, and about how the current lineup of Elvete came about. So we start the podcast the same way every time. What has been your very worst job?
I don't know if it can get any worse than being a musician, but...
Oh, no.
My worst job would have to be... I once worked in a call center, my job was not to sell stuff, but to, ask people questions on this product surveys and stuff like that.
How old were you? What point of your life was that?
It was in the beginning with Elvete, but I only did it for like half a year.
What about you?
My worst job... was when I was like 13, I was working in a factory for like, I don't know, 3 weeks. It was just horrible. I just had to put on stickers for 8 hours on some packages. And it was actually really bad. But because the people were not so nice there, otherwise it could have been fun. But the people make the job, I would say.
And you both always knew you'd be doing music?
I always liked doing music, especially like it started when I was maybe 12, then I really got into the singing and the techniques and everything. And then it was about like me switching to the different schools when I was 15. So I was like, okay, when I go to this school, then what am I gonna be afterwards, right? So I was like, okay, I really have to go to this school because I think I want to do something with music, maybe go study music if possible. So I think with 15, I was really like sitting down and thinking, okay, what is my way gonna be? So what do I have to choose so I get there? But I didn't think I would become a singer in a band. I was more like, yeah, becoming a teacher or a choir leader or conductor or something like that. I never thought that I would actually end up in a band. Okay. Yeah.
And was this your first music industry experience working with the band?
Yeah, actually. Also, I mean, I was at school, but with the industry, yeah, kind of. I was just singing on weddings mostly, so that's not really the industry, I would say. It's, I don't know, yeah.
And what about yourself? When did you think you wanted to do it?
I think it was someone in kindergarten. It was tough. The last year of kindergarten was really fucking tough because, like, I needed to learn guitar. I wanted to get an education in classical guitar. And I drove my parents crazy for months until they got me a guitar. And then we found out that you're only allowed to start that education with 6. So I had to wait like almost one full year, which was hell.
And you started with instruments rather than voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you learn to scream?
I just love to scream at people.
You just...
No. When I formed the band like 17 years ago now, like, I was looking for a singer for forever, and I just never could find one that, you know, like did what I had in mind. But at the same time, we were already, you know, like writing songs, and we were working on our second release already. So I recorded the pre-productions at home, to for everybody, you know. And so I did the vocals there, and at some point, it was the other band members actually. They came up with like, you know, like it's not that bad. Like, why don't you just sing?
And you joined as a singer later on, didn't you?
Yeah, I joined now almost 3 years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what was that like for you, joining an already established band?
Yeah, it was a big step. It wasn't always so easy because I didn't really know what to expect or what will happen, and how will the fans react, how will like the band react to me and everything. So, and I mean, I didn't really have so much experience with concerts, especially with the big ones. And so, yeah, just got thrown into the cold water a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I like challenges, and I don't know, I just had a good feeling about it. And yeah, just tried it, just did it.
And yeah. I guess it must be quite difficult putting your own stamp on things, yet you have to kind of honor the original work as well. So how do you find that?
I just always just did it the way I would have done it, also, and how I did it. Just I didn't really think like that I should copy the previous singer or something, because I have my voice, she has her voice, so what's the point in trying to copy her? It will not be as good as the original. So yeah, I just did it my way, and I guess some people like it, some maybe don't.
Yeah. And how did the fans receive it?
Actually, I got a really warm welcome, of course. You always have these comments, and I understand when there was a singer for 10 years in your favorite band and then they swap, it's tough. But they really were very, very like warm to me. And yeah, I feel now as a part of the metal family.
No.
That's so nice. And what about yourself? How have you found going through lots of different iterations of the band?
I mean, for us, it was, you know, basically just a development. I mean, we had a lot of lineup changes, especially in the first couple of years. I mean, you know, like when I formed the band, it was clear what it all is about. It was clear that we want to work a lot, that we want to give everything and work as hard to get as far as possible with that kind of music. And so that's basically what we did. And so we were constantly growing, but that's obviously also meant that there was more. Each year there was more shows, there was more of everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also means that the time that you needed to invest into the band grew more and more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically every couple of months, every band member had to ask him or herself, like, okay, can I still do this? Do I still want to do this? And that's basically why we had so many lineup changes in the first, let's say, 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because every now and then someone turned up and said, like, okay, that's it. Like, I want to keep my regular job and, you know, and stuff like that. And from the fans' perspective, it's basically like Fabi just said, you know, like there's mostly our fans have always been very supportive and also very curious, you know, like, you know, what the next version of LAT will bring.
How did you start the band? It started as a recording project first, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's not that I wanted it to be like that. When I first tried to form a band like LVT, that was almost around 8 years before I eventually founded LVT, and it just never worked out. Like I formed a few bands in that period, but they always just ended up being pure folk bands or something like that. It just never worked because, you know, back in the day, this combination of two genres actually was not established at all. There was no folk metal or something. There was no folk metal scene, and the scenes were like really apart from each other. And if you were in the metal scene asking around, like, you know, like, look, I want to form a metal band, but you know, with violins and bagpipes and flutes, like, people looked at you like if you're the biggest weirdo, you know, like. And it's the same for the folk musician, you know, and once they heard actual metal, they were like, oh my god, they're screaming in there, what is this? So it actually somehow just never worked out. And at some point I already gave up a couple of times, but it wouldn't let me go. But it was probably like my last attempt, and I just thought, okay, maybe it works as a studio project. So I just wrote a couple of songs and I recorded everything at home or programmed everything. And so then, you know, like I just asked random people that I knew and just gave them a CD. Look, this is the lines for your particular instrument. Learn that. And this and this day, you can come to the studio, record it and leave it again. And that's it. There's no obligations to anyone. And that's actually how it worked. And funnily enough, there was just one time all the people involved met each other for the first time. And that was like for the band picture. That's the only time they've even seen each other.
Wow.
But they didn't know each other. So this is how like I managed to put out the first Elevator release. But yeah, like as I said, it's not that I wanted it to be that. It just wasn't possible. But after that, like that first release got like really great reviews everywhere and got sold out quickly. And so at that point, it was easier then. We started getting live requests, you know, for live shows and all that. So I kind of was at the point where I said, okay, maybe you should become a band now. Otherwise, it's hard to play live shows, right? And so I had to find new people. I asked all the involved people and some of them said, okay, yeah, actually, that could be fun. Let's do that. But most of them were like, no. Don't want to do that. So I had to find new people. But at that point, it was easier already because A, I could show them, look, this is how it sounds, and B, I could show them the reactions and show them, look, it's not a completely crazy idea.
And in terms of the Celtic side of it, in the UK, we always think of Celtic being Scottish or Irish, and you don't really think of Switzerland, but it's a real cultural thing in Switzerland as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. So does the Celtic side come from your background? Did you grow up with folk music?
I did grow up with folk music, but, you know, like that was just like in my, you know, early age when I was a little kid. And like I kind of left the folk music for a couple of years, like, and just came back to it when I was a teenager. And that's also like when I started learning bagpipes and all that kind of. But the whole Celtic thing that just always kind of was a part of my life. And at least I don't know how it was like 10, 20 years later, but when I went to school, you know, at some point you got like this history classes and you learned the history of your own country and all that. And at least when I went to school back then, like, you know, they taught you like all the stories about the ancient Helvetians and all that. So like it was, you know, I kind of grew up with it.
And tell me about the name of the band. What does it mean?
Literally translated, it means I, the Helvetian. I don't know if you know what the Helvetian is. Okay.
Nope.
They were the first Celtic tribe that got in trouble with the Roman Empire before, you know, the Gallic Wars started and lasted for almost 10 years. And they were the tribe that basically inherited the country we live in. And it's still actually, Helvetia is also still kind of an old-fashioned name for a country. I mean, if you visit the Swiss website, for instance, the extension is .ch, which stands for Confederation of Helvetia. And it's the same for the car signs and everything. So it's still kind of in use, that name. And the name Elveti, literally translated, means I, the Helvetian, but it was basically a family name back in the day. You know, like we still have these kind of eponymous names today, like thinking of, I don't know, Albert Schweitzer, for instance, or François Hollande, you know, like it's like country names, but also being used as a family name. That's basically what it was.
And you use a lot of Gaulish language. How does that affect your singing?
It is very different than when I sing in English. Somehow I think my voice sounds different. I think it sounds like brighter. I don't know. But maybe it's also because when we sing in Gaulish, it's more the folky touch. And when I sing in English, maybe then I try more a bit harder pop singing. But the vowels are very...
Yeah, there's a lot of open vowels.
A lot of open vowels, yeah. Yeah, it's actually very nice to sing. I really like it. So write more of these songs for me. Yeah.
What's the most difficult Gaulish phrase that you have to sing?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think it's actually that hard to speak it because we speak Swiss German, so it's kind of close.
It's quite similar.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you would be French and then you would need to learn it, it's going to be really hard, right?
Or English.
So I was kind of privileged to be Swiss and learn it. So I think I just went with the flow, and he helped me. He knows a lot. He's like the living lexicon. He knows about the language. So it was just, we went through the lyrics, and because it's, so for example, an X is a X, but we have the X in Swiss German. So for us, this is easy.
To be fair, what happened in the last 15 years, in my opinion, is like super, super exciting. You know, like I remember like when I started off with LVT, hardly anyone even knew what Gaulish is, you know, and this changed so much. Like the whole Celtic researches branch just grew. Today, like the internet is literally buzzing. Like there's Gaulish YouTube channels, Gaulish Facebook groups, and so on. And actually, a friend of mine, like the one of the scientists I work with most for our lyrics, he just recently published his first book, which is basically a Gaulish course.
It is amazing to see languages like that come back. And in the UK, we have so many different languages that are being lost. So it's so nice to see the kind of opposite happening here.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So our quick fire round, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Tea. Ah.
Mm. Music or lyrics?
Music.
Hard one for you.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
You're after my heart. Creativity or logic?
Creativity, of course.
Yeah.
Has to be, doesn't it? Plane or train?
Train.
Train.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Nothing.
Sweet treats or savory snacks?
Savory snacks.
Sweets.
City or countryside?
Countryside.
Yes.
Matching or odd socks?
Odd socks.
Yeah.
Guitar or piano?
Guitar.
Piano.
Friday night in or Friday night out?
Probably in.
In is in the house, like chilling out.
Yeah, or going out partying.
No, at the moment, in.
Modern or vintage?
Vintage.
Yeah.
Black and white or technicolor?
Black and white.
Color, full.
Moose or mouse?
Moose. Yeah. Moose, of course.
A moose. Oh, yeah. As a moose?
Like a moose?
Yeah, moose. Moose.
Hey, this is the part of the episode where I give you a fun fact about our guests. Elvete uses a lot of traditional folk instruments like fiddles, tin whistles, bagpipes, and my new favourite, the hurdy-gurdy. The hurdy-gurdy is a stringed instrument that produces sound by hand-cranking a rosined wheel, and this wheel then rubs against the strings and produces a sound much like a violin bow. Single notes played on the instrument sounds much like a violin, but it also produces a drone note accompanying the melody, much like a bagpipe. And for this reason, it's often used in Celtic music alongside the bagpipes or instead of a bagpipe. However, the hurdy-gurdy's origins are actually not in Celtic music. They have a long history starting in Constantinople or Istanbul. So I looked on the Nuclear Blast website and you are down as the most successful metal band from Switzerland. How do you feel about that?
I mean, life has so many ways to keep your feet on the ground, and also to keep you busy, that I really think if you have time to think about you being famous or some bullshit like that, it must be the God's way to tell you that you have too much time.
Yeah. Do you believe in kind of like fate or hard work and choice? What do you think? Or like a destiny to do music?
Personally, I think it's always a combination of both, actually. Okay. And it's probably some higher connection kind of thing that we just basically don't understand. But to my simple mind, it looks like, like being both.
And you're, as I said, very successful and very popular. Why do you think that people connect to the music?
For me, when I first heard it, it was almost like film music to me. And I really saw these rough landscapes from valleys, from the Alps. There's a special area. I really see these landscapes.
Yeah, Alpine region.
Yeah. Or also, like, I can see Scotland in front of me or something like this. Just these sceneries. And I just connected to this. And I also just loved, for me, of course, I really went into the female singing songs to check it out. And I just really loved how she sings and the melodies and what she can do, like, range-wise and everything. I was, like, totally fascinated by it. So, yeah. But I think it's, like, this connection to the nature and the stories that he is writing about. And
I mean, it comes with a package. I don't think that I'm adding much to it. But if you look at it, folk music is basically the oldest kind of music, the only oldest genre there is. And it just doesn't show the decency to fucking die. It just keeps on existing, right? I think, you know, folk music has always kind of been simple people and the poor people's music, you know, depending on the era you're looking at. And it just, you know, like it keeps on living. It just keeps on being given from generation to generation. And it changes with each generation, but it never loses its soul, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason it does that is that there's something very primal in it. And there's something that just talks to our hearts, no matter who we are. Yeah. And I think it has something to do with that.
So you guys are touring right now. You're going from country to country as well on this tour. How has that been? What's the best and worst thing about touring?
I think when we have flying tours, for me the worst is the lack of sleep. And overall, maybe it's the worst for me. Like the air condition, for example, especially in the US, is crazy for the voice.
Yeah.
Or just also in the tour bus, sometimes the air and, you know, always just like trying to not get sick. This is maybe kind of, especially for singers, probably. Yeah. It's kind of, for me, it's like a little bit stressy sometimes. Like, oh, I have to take care. So I think this is maybe a bit the bad side of the touring, like the worst.
And the lack of proper toilets and showers.
Oh yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Depends on the venue though. Sometimes it's super nice.
Yeah, but the thing is, you just fully depend on the venue. So I mean, you have, like, if you have like a job in an office, then you have your own bathroom and you can keep it as clean as you want to, and every day you return back there and life is good. But we just depend on, you know, we don't know, like, maybe the people that run the venue are nice and think of the musicians and keep their toilets clean and nice. But most of the time they don't.
Yeah, but there are also good sides.
Yes.
Yes.
Basically everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just following our passion, which is awesome.
Yeah.
One of my patrons, her question was, how does it go down in different countries? Do you find different countries receive it better than others, the style of music?
Actually, I've been asking this question many times, like, also, like, where is the best audience and stuff like that. And, like, after touring, like, for almost 15 years now, like, I really have to say that in the end, metalheads are just metalheads, you know. I mean, we've seen, like, really different parts. We've played in fucking, whatever, India, Bangladesh, Japan, and South America, what the hell ever. Even South Africa, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, if you go to these countries, you get like Bangladesh, for instance, it was a cultural shock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the end of the day, metalheads are just metalheads. You know, if you're on stage and looking at the audience, the differences are not that big. And I found that a very, very beautiful thing, actually, because it shows the power of music. It shows how much music is able to unite people and create some kind of a family, no matter what culture or country or whatever it is, you know. Mm. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Could you describe your music making method? What sort of M's in that? Who writes the music? Where does it start?
Yeah, well, could you use the master brain?
I think history writes music. I mean, the first thing we do when we start working on a new album is that I kind of like create a concept of the whole album. I need to have like the final album in front of my inner eye, including the artwork, including the lyrics, including I know exactly what it all is about and what the lyrics say and everything before we actually start writing the music. Because also to us, it's super important that our songs also musically express what the lyrics are about. We're not just like composing random songs and then add random lyrics to it at some point. But, you know, to us, like, an album is like a piece of art that includes everything, that includes the visuals, the artwork, the lyrics, and the music. And I put as much attention to the lyrics then as to the music, for instance. So, yeah, that's what I meant. You know, like, our lyrics are, it's all about Celtic culture and history. And it's the lyrics that actually form the music, kind of. And also, like, you know, when we were in the studio working at Blackwater Dawn or something, I think our songs are a little bit like kids, you know. They just grow with time. And you know, the older they get, they actually point down what they want. They kind of develop their own will and, you know, point out that they need, okay, they're a little more of Fabi's voice, there needs a little bit more whistle or what the hell ever. So they just, like, grow, like, organically and naturally. That's how I would describe it.
Do you find different members contribute new things, or is it mostly your writing?
No, it's not. And this has changed a lot in the last couple of years. And, you know, when we were in the studio a couple of years back recording the last acoustic album, we've been like in this very, I would say, creative phase in our career. And we've been working more together as a band, as a group of musicians, than we ever did before on that record. And also we left a lot of things open when we went to the studio. A lot of things just happened spontaneously. And also, like, almost all the band was there. Like also people that weren't recording at the time, they were just still there just to be there, you know, or to cook for everybody else or something like that. And so, yeah, there was just like this really creative and also familial atmosphere, I would say. And for our last album, that tendency just even grew more, I would say. So it was great what happened, you know.
So it's a proper collaboration in that sense.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's great. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained one ability or one quality, what would it be?
Oof. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, cool. You're like happy as you are.
It would probably just change who I am, and that would feel like unreal. So, I mean, I like a lot of things, you know, but that makes me who I am, and it probably would be weird the other way around.
And if you had one piece of advice for people trying to enter the music industry, what would it be?
Don't listen to advice.
There we go.
Good one. Now I cannot say anything, right?
Sorry.
I mean, I can just speak what it was for me. I was like, okay, I take the challenge. And now I'm if I would have said no, then I wouldn't be here now.
Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. We're done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to Fabi and Frigel. If you'd like to find out more about Elvete, head over to their website, which is elvete.ch. And you can also find all of their music on Spotify and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. It really helps us spread these stories to new people. If you'd like to send us feedback, send us an email at goodjob@bethroars.com. And if you'd like to support the podcast and get early access to episodes, head over to patreon.com/bethroars. Once again, massive thanks to Fabi and Kriegel, to James and Kezra at One Fine Play for the initial edits, and to Tom Court, my co-producer, who's been working super hard in putting these together, and of course, to you guys for listening. See you in the next one. Bye.
Good job.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.